Love God, lift others. Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's our very special guest, Elevate Life Church worship pastor, Dr. Sky Davis.
Well, we're going to dive into the book of 1 Samuel. I'm not going to be before you long, but I believe that this is a word that will resonate and that we should really consider as a body, as the people of God, as churches. Now, EOC, we don't have this problem. We're good. We're good. But I want to talk from the context of really us looking at and consider our posture and our understanding around the thought of praise. You see, because praise is very powerful. Praise is very powerful. And I want to ensure that as we're navigating this Christian life, this experience, that we put praise in proper context. Because praise, it's a weapon. But scripture also tells us that it is the very thing where God's presence dwells in. Do I have any witnesses in the house this morning? Amen. A couple of housekeeping items before we jump into this. I just want to make it very clear. Now, some of you were here the last time I had the opportunity to grace this podium. And you heard me say it before, so I'll say it again for those that didn't have the chance. I come from old school preaching. So what that means is I want a talk back church this morning. Is that all right? Now you may be asking, what does that mean when I say I want a talk back church? Well, that means that if I say, look at your neighbor, I want you to look at your neighbor. If I say, I want you to tell your neighbor, well, guess what? I want you to tell your neighbor. If I say, somebody say amen, I want you to say amen. Can y'all do that? Amen. And just like what my old mentor used to say, if you help me get up the mountain, I can make it down all by myself. Amen. So we're going to be coming from 1 Samuel. We're going to be diving into the first chapter. We'll be navigating through a few verses of scripture. The story that we'll be talking through here today, I want to ensure that we understand the principle behind what's being expressed. And if we can unpack this the right way, I believe that as we leave this place, not only will we have a better understanding, but I guarantee you that your experience, your encounters with God, and the situations and circumstances that you tend to see happening in your life, those things will be better. Those situations will be better. Because what I'm after this morning is your attitude and the way that you engage in praise. You see, again, I'll say it, praise is very powerful. Praise can be a weapon that can change the very atmosphere that you walk in. Praise is the thing that God uses to shift your situation. Praise is also the thing, hear this, that we owe God. Oh, yes. We owe him our praise. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you owe him. Oh, yes, yes. We owe him our praise. And so it is my hope this morning that as we navigate through these verses of scripture that you will come away with a renewed understanding, perspective, and that it will challenge you that when you walk into these doors, your posture is different. That when you walk into these doors, all of the hell that you may be going through, everything that you may be facing, every challenge, every obstacle, will not hinder you giving what you owe your God. Are y'all here this morning? Amen. So we're going to navigate this. We're going to walk through these verses. And my hope is that this will change us for the better. Father, word my mouth this morning that I may speak that which you are proclaiming to your people. Father, let your word be true. Father, change the hearts and the minds of your people, those that came to receive from you today, God. Meet them here in this place. These are the blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For a theme this morning, I want to talk from a particular perspective. And what I want to deal with is the understanding that you can praise him through your barrenness. I'm going to say that one more time. I want to ensure that we understand this and that we take on the attitude that we will begin to praise him through our barrenness. Now, as we walk through these verses of scripture, we will encounter a woman by the name of Hannah. And again, I want you to get the principle of what's being shown to us in the scripture. Because if we can really peel back these principles, I guarantee you it'll change your life. It'll change my life. It will change us for the better. So let's look at verse 1 in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, and we will read it. It says that there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephraimite. That's a whole lot of words. Little inflections. Basically, we're talking about his lineage, where he comes from. This man, Elkanah, comes from good stock. He comes from a heritage, a lineage of people that were faithful and committed to God and worshiped him. All right? Now, let's talk a little bit about Elkanah. Verse 2 says he had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Verse 3 says, year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were both priests of the Lord. And verse 4 says, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all of her sons and daughters. But verse 5 says, to Hannah, he would give a double portion because he loved her so. But here's the dilemma. The Lord had closed her womb. Closed it. And verse 6 says, because the Lord closed Hannah's womb, her rival continued to provoke in order to irritate her. Verse 7 says, this went on year after year. Let's stop there for just a minute. Let's kind of make this make sense. If you follow New Testament scripture, if you follow Old Testament scripture, one of the common principles that you would notice is when it comes to women, oftentimes childbearing is really associated with identity. So in other words, if a woman cannot bear children, she has no identity and she has no purpose. So when we're looking at and examining these scriptures, what we're really seeing is Hannah has no idea who she is. And not only does she not have an idea in terms of who she is, but she does not have a purpose for her life. the concept of barrenness, it's not just talking about the fact that she can't bear children. This is actually saying that there's a barrenness when it comes to purpose in her life. Basically, Lord, who am I? What is my purpose? What is my path? What is it that you want me to do? I don't have anything to give to you. This is what she's saying in these verses. I want you to understand this because I believe that there are so many of us that go through our life's journey and we're wondering, Lord, what do you want from me? What is my purpose? Who am I? I don't have a clear sense or a clear understanding of who I am. I may have so many talents and so many abilities and so many giftings, but Lord, who am I? I don't know who I am. I have no true identity of myself. And this is where Hannah finds herself here in this place. She's got a husband that loves her. In fact, he loves her more than the other wife who gave him children, who gave him legacy. So she's got favor, but no purpose. She's got his favor. She's got his love. She's got his affection. She has his attention. He's given her double what he gave his other wife. But there's no identity. There's no purpose. And so she's left to feel that there's a void. So this is something that's constantly being picked at with her. The fact that everybody around her seems to know who they are. The fact that everyone around her seems to have a clear understanding of who they are and what their purpose is. Have you ever been in a situation where it seems like everybody around you has it together? Have you ever been in a situation where it seems like your friends and your families, well, they got good families together. They got good relationships and it seems like things are working for them. And yeah, I know that I got people that like me and people that consider me, but where am I? Who am I? Maybe that's not your testimony, but I'll tell you, there have been times and seasons in my life where I had to question, God, what have you called of me? Lord, who am I? What am I to do with my hands? What am I supposed to do with the things that you've given me? I don't know my purpose. And this is where Hannah finds herself. So we'll continue down with the text. So this continues to happen with her rivals poking. And verse 8 tells us that her husband asks her, Hannah, why are you weeping? What's wrong? Why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? All the favor that I've given, the way that I've poured myself, don't I mean more to you? And this is an interesting dilemma because, yes, this man was very good to her. He loved her. He considered her. He honored her. But if you don't know who you are, if you don't know your purpose and God's plan for you, it's really hard for you to take what others say if you have no true sense of your own identity. Are y'all following me? Y'all may not like this kind of teaching, but this is going to help you. This is going to help you. And so we see this. He says to her, what is the problem? Am I not enough? Here's what she does. When this happened, she finished eating. She drank in Shiloh, and then she stood up. Here's where the power is. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. So, Eli is the priest or the pastor. And this temple where Hannah went to. This was the church. In fact, one of the things that was very interesting about this temple, this was the temple that actually housed the tabernacle. So that means the presence of the Lord was there. The presence of the Lord was thick, and it was there in the temple. Think about this. Hannah had enough sense to recognize her state, where she was, the way that she felt. And immediately, what did she do? She went to the house of the Lord. She went to the church because she recognized that at the church, that's where the presence of God is. And if I can get to God's presence, I can see breakthrough. And she had enough faith to actually move into that space of going to the house of worship. Now, one of the things that I love about this story as we continue to read, she's there in this place of worship, and Eli recognizes that she's there. He sees her. And as he sees her, as he's sitting at his chair, he's recognizing that Hannah is in deep anguish, and she's praying to the Lord, and she's weeping bitterly. And as she's weeping, and as she's praying, and as she's praising him, because this is a moment of praise, she's getting to a place where she knows that God can hear her. And she makes a declaration. In fact, she makes a vow. And in the vow, she says, verse 11, Lord Almighty, if you will look only on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son or give her purpose, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Now let's think about that for just a moment, because this is powerful. Somebody say powerful. This is powerful. What's happening here? Hannah has gotten to a place where she knows that she needs to seek the Lord. So she goes to the temple, not just to be in the presence, but to actually honor God with praise and her faith. How do we know that? Because in that very moment, she made a promise to the Lord, and she said, Lord, if you do this thing, not only will I recognize you for it, but the very thing that I'm praying for, I'm going to give it back to you. And when I give you the thing that I've been praying for, I'm going to make sure that I cover it, I'm going to make sure that I protect it, and I'm going to make sure that I use it for your glory. Sometimes we got to get into a place where we recognize that if we can just praise him, in spite of our circumstances, if we can praise him, when he opens the door, we got to make sure we give it back. When he opens the door for us, when he makes ways for us, our praise shifts the atmosphere, but now we've got a responsibility to give it back. Lord, it was your doing, not mine. Lord, it's because of your will, not mine. And so therefore, I'm giving it back to you. I want to honor you with my sacrifice. Family, we've got to get into a position where we allow for our praise to determine our situation. We can't let our situation determine what our praise is. Which is why when we come into the doors, we need to come in with hearts filled with praise. Yeah, I may have a lot of stuff happening behind these doors, but when I get to the temple, I'm going to praise him because it's my due service to him. Come on, look at somebody and say, it's my due service. Come on, we owe it to him. We owe him our praise. So when we get back into the text, and we see that Hannah is in a position where she is praising God. And as she begins to praise him, Eli is recognizing that there is a praise in the house. But before he realizes that she's praising, he makes an assumption to say she must be drunk. Now, why did he say she's drunk? Because obviously if she's moving in such a way and if she he's seeing a lot of activity, he's saying she's not in her right mind. But Hannah was in a posture where she's saying, God, I may look foolish, it may look ridiculous, but I'm going to give you my praise. praise. And through my praise, I can believe and trust that there will be victory on the other side. Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. We've got to recognize that our praise can shift our situation. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, praise your way through it. Yeah, it may be barren at the moment. You may not have all of the things that you want. Things may not look clear to you. But oh my God, if I can just praise him, my circumstances will change. Woo, good God Almighty. So Eli recognizes that she's in a different state. He says, I see her lips moving, but I don't hear any noise. And so she must be drunk. She must not be in her right mind. So she kept on praying to the Lord. And as Eli saw it, and as she was praying in her heart, he went to her and he said, verse 14, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put that wine away. You in God's house. What you drunk for? She turns around in verse 15 and she says, not so. This isn't drunk. I'm not drunk. She says, I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer, but I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Let's just pause for a moment. When's the last time you poured out your soul to him? When is the last time you've spent some time on your face pouring out your soul to him, crying out to him? Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your will. As I give my anguishes to you, as I give all of my issues, as I give my circumstances to you, I believe and I trust in you. I just want to be in your presence. So this is what she's doing in this moment. She's praying and she's laying out her burdens. And so Eli saw it, he recognizes it, and she's telling him, don't take your servant as a wicked woman, but I've been praying here out of my great anguish and my grief. And Eli answered her this. He said, go in peace. And not only go in peace, but may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him. Listen, because of her response in praise, the preacher told her, he said, go in peace, and that thing that you are waiting on God to do, I'm trusting and I'm releasing the word that it will come to pass. Why? Because her praise was activating a shift in her atmosphere. Are y'all getting anything this morning? So she was in this position of praise. Eli tells her to go in peace. Verse 18 says, she told him, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way. And guess what she did? She ate something. You got to eat. She ate something. And her face was no longer downcast. Do you see what happened? As she extended her faith through acts of praise, when the word was released, it changed her environment. No longer was she in a place of being downridden. No longer was she in a place of being so cast down and ashamed. No, she trusted and she believed in the word. And why? Because her faith was activated by a response due to her praise. Praise changes circumstances. Are y'all hearing me? Praise changes circumstances. So she went off. Her face was no longer downcast. The Bible says in verse 19, early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord. And then went back to their home in Ramah. It was there that Elkanah made love to her. And the Lord remembered the word that was given. The first thing that she did, she honored God through a sacrifice of her praise and her worship. And God moved and changed things around in her life. The word was released, and guess what the next thing was that she did? She went back into a place, a posture of worship. The Bible says that her and her husband together came into a place and a space where they worshiped the Lord. And then they went home. They didn't wait. They worshiped him immediately. And the Bible says that God remembered the promise. And verse 20 says, in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant. In the course of time, Hannah became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. And the reason why that's so significant is because in the Hebrew, the name Samuel is actually interpreted as God has placed. So in other words, her naming him Samuel is a reflection back to saying that this was God's doing. She remembered the blessing and the vow that she made on the altar when she was praising him, where she said, Lord, if you do it for me, I'm going to give it back to you. And not only will I give it back to you, but I'm going to make sure that everybody knows that it was your doing and not mine. And she happened to name her son. And this person, Samuel, if we continue to read through scripture, later on down the line in the book of 1 Samuel, we see that God has an encounter with Samuel at the age of 12. Guess where? In the tabernacle. At the temple. God has an encounter with him, and he begins to speak to him, and he begins to groom and develop him for his purpose. And Samuel winds up becoming one of the greatest prophets of the region. But it was based on the promise that was given to this woman years prior as a response to her praise. And what I want for us to get today, if we don't get anything else, I want for us to understand truly how important it is, how powerful it is to stay and remain in a posture of praise. You don't need to wait for somebody to pump and prime you to praise the Lord. All you should have to do is think back. All you got to do is remember your circumstances. All you got to do is remember where he came from, where you came out of. There's an old song that we used to sing. The old song would say, when I think and I look back over my life and I think of all the things, think things over, I'm not going to complain. Why? Because God has been so good to me. That, family, is an attitude, a posture of praise. That's praise. And if we want to see true breakthrough, if we really want to see things move on our behalf, then we have to be people that are praisers. We've got to be people that have an attitude and an appetite for praise. Well, what is praise? Praise is your sacrifice. Praise is your testimony. Praise is the lifting of your hands. Come on, somebody. Praise is the sacrifice from your lips. Praise is the clapping of your hands. Praise is your financial contribution. Uh-oh. My God. It's true. It's true. And that is what God requires of us. That we be people that have the right posture of praise. There was another song. My mom, my auntie used to sing this song back in the day. And the words were so powerful. It said that praise is the key to heaven. And faith unlocks the door. Mama Diane, you probably don't remember that. Do you remember that? She used to sing that all the time. Praise is the key. I can't sing it. It was high. But there's such power. There's such power in that. Because when we take on the attitude of praise, when we really truly allow praise to be what leads us and not our own emotions, not what somebody else is saying, not our circumstances, not our trials, when we allow praise to be the thing that we hold to, well, God's in that. God is in that. If I can praise him, then God will be in my midst. If I can praise him, God will perform. But here's the part that we make sure that we know, and we got to like it, even though some of us may not like it, but we got to like it. You know, that requires something of you. You see, when you pray for God to do something, when you pray for God to open a door, when you pray for God to bless you, don't forget God. Don't forget your source. Don't forget who turned things around for your good. Don't forget the thing that he's done. See, that is your required response. So we've got to be people that truly understand and live by the principle of praise. Praise is important. I said it again. I said it before. I'll say it again. It is a weapon. Your praise is a weapon. But can I tell you something else? It's not just a weapon. It's also what is required. We're required to give him praise. And you know what? Sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes you feel awkward. Sometimes you may even lack faith in the moment. What am I praising for? Things are terrible. What am I praising for right now? Are you kidding? Praise. But how many of you know that when you begin to praise him, when you begin to truly get out of yourself to abide in his presence, is there anybody in the room that can declare that not only can he, but he will turn things around? Listen, I only want those that can actually testify to this to really agree. I just want about 5 or 6 people, if you know that your praise has shifted the atmosphere of your circumstances, I just want to hear you give them some praise right now with the house. Come on, if you believe that your praise has shifted things around in your favor, then come on and give them some praise in the house right now. Come on. Come on, give them the fruit of your lips. Listen, come on, give them the fruit of your lips. Don't worry about those that haven't had the experience. Come on, you praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints of God, we have to be praisers. Family, we've got to be praisers. Amen. We got to be praisers. Do me a favor and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you a praiser? Look at your other neighbor and say, are you a praiser? Tell them, say, prove it. Get up and shout right now. No, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. Hey, glory to God. Yes, Lord. Oh, I started now. Who said that? Don't start nothing. Don't y'all start nothing. Come on. Yes, Lord. Family, we got to be praisers. We have to have that attitude. When we come into these doors, let's come in with hearts open. I'll say it again. When we come through those doors, let's come in with hearts open. Let's come already in position to praise him. One of the things that we talk about on the worship team, you know, because we're here, we meet Jesus here at 7:30 in the morning. We meet the Lord here because it's early. And before the time change, it was still dark, so we meet God here. But one of the things that we talk about is, you know, everybody got stuff going on. Everybody has situations. But the thing that we talk about is the moment we enter the door, everything that we're dealing with, every circumstance, every trial, that gets no place. Because we walk in with a posture that says, Lord, I am coming here to give you my all. I'm coming to praise you. I'm coming to honor you, to lift you up, to magnify you, God. I want you to get the glory in my life. I'm not going to let my circumstances have more power than the praise that I owe you. And family, that's what we all have to do. When we walk in these doors, put aside every weight and come in with an attitude of praise. And I promise you, when you do that, you're going to see things change in your life. You're going to see things shift in your life. Circumstances will be different in your life. But it starts with a praise. It starts with a praise. Come on, somebody. It starts with a praise. Come on, tell somebody. It starts with a praise. So let's be those people that in spite of what we face, whatever obstacle, the situation, yeah, they're real. They're trying. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we can't see our way through it. But the Lord says he inhabits the praises. He inhabits the praises of his people. Shift your perspective. Have an attitude of praise, a posture of praise. Watch God move.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.